You're listening to Atheistically Speaking.
System audio, turn that off. Hello and welcome to Atheistically Speaking, episode 66 with your host Thomas Smith. And this is a special Thursday episode, Tracy edition. How's it going, Tracy?
Hi, very well. I forgot to tell you, I wanted to do the intro. I thought that would really spook everybody.
Okay, go ahead.
Welcome to Atheistically.
I need to edit this?
What?
You mean I need to like edit this?
You just interrupted me. You ruined my flow. Episode 66. I'm your host, Thomas Smith. With me today is Tracy Moody.
Hi.
Everyone's favorite vaginal representative.
That's me. I'm Tracy Moody. Is it working?
Is that what I sound like?
Yeah. I'm trying to do an impression of you. Ha, ha. I'm first. Just go as low as I can. No, what if you found out that's what you sounded like? Like, everyone's just like, yeah, that's what you sound like. You're like, no.
I'm getting my ears checked because I'm pretty sure that's not what I sound like.
No, that's you. Here, it is exactly you. Hi, I'm Tracy Moody. That was a dead-on impersonation.
Oh, no.
Okay, well, we should probably do a show, I guess, if you want. as always, we can start off what's going to be an insanely... like weird, depressing, not depressing, but it's not an easy topic, abortion. But, you know, we started off with some humor there. That was some humor for you all. Yeah. Okay. so now that we've covered the humor, Tracy, good job. We covered all the jokes. We scripted that whole thing out and we executed it very well. Let's talk about abortion. I'm having one. No. So I wanted to talk about this. Because, well, okay, there's the Richard Dawkins tweets, and I know everyone's probably tired of this, but honestly, it brought up an interesting topic that I'd like to talk about. But first, let's just talk more generally, because when this happened, I also saw a PZ Myers post that was related to Dawkins quoting him, and I found it interesting, and he brought up a thought experiment, and I thought we'd go through it. What do you think?
Oh, I don't like this thought experiment, but let's go through it.
Yeah, well, you're the guest. Do you want to, how about you, why don't you read it?
No, you read it.
But I don't want to read, okay.
Wait, well, it's not convenient on my desktop at this time.
Oh, okay,
so
I'll read it.
Please proceed.
I will read it. So I'll just start from the, I always try to summarize and like, just read it. So Richard Dawkins apparently quoted PZ Myers, but referred to him as Blogger, which I thought was interesting. Blogger said, "Woman's rights over own body extend to abortion, even if fetus conscious and writing poetry in womb. I profoundly disagree." And then PZ Myers said, "The blogger happens to be me," which is weird because I know they're not like tight or whatever, but I thought they would have more of a relationship than that. I mean, they're in the same field and I don't know. Anyway.
Maybe he didn't want to directly call him out.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, everyone's going to know, right?
But then he uses blogger,
huh?
In quotations.
Yeah.
But yeah, he is. Like, why is he using is it because of his relationship with him? He's like, why are you calling me blogger when you know my name?
That's what it seems like to me. It's weird. So, yeah, I'm not going to read that. So he brings up an analogy. And, okay, I don't... listeners might remember when I had Piliucci on. I should get him back. I should find some reason to give him back on because he's fun to listen to. Piliucci mentioned the thought experiment by, and I had to look it up because I couldn't remember, but it was Judith Jarvis Thompson. And it was the violinist thing. Like, if you had a violinist that, and I had a few problems with it. I largely agree, but I've always looked at the issue not really, and I don't mean this to be against female choice, you know, about their body, but I've never looked at this issue as that. It's like, to me, it's always been either the fetus has human rights, in which case you can't just kill it, or it doesn't. And I thought it was just a question of pinpointing that, you know, whenever we want, whenever we as a society, even though it's never going to be like a clean thing, but, you know, often the law just has to pick a time, you know, it's kind
of remind me of this thought experiment, because I don't remember.
Well, we're going to go through PZ Myers anyway, and it's okay. It's not the same, but it's similar. So I think we should just do that one. So we're not doing two thought experiments in one, but okay. So anyway, here's PZ's little thought experiment. Scientists, no, I'm starting in the wrong place. Imagine that an alien species envelops the Earth in a cloud of infectious DNA, and little needles carrying embryos rain down on us. If you're struck by one, you'll start growing an alien cyst in your body. It will fester for a bit less than a year, draining you of energy and making movement awkward, before rupturing and releasing a semi-autonomous intelligent creature. This process kills roughly 20 in 100,000 infected individuals, so it only has a small but very real chance of being lethal. The released creature is also going to demand approximately 20 years of full-time care from its host. Just to add... 20 years of full-time care? What? Just to add an ironic twist...
Kids go to college.
Yeah, or like, you're not caring for them full-time once they're like 8, right? I mean, or yeah, even younger. But anyway... Just to add an ironic twist, by some peculiar peculiar quirk of physiology, human women... I can read words. Be quiet. Human women are totally resistant to the infection, so only men experience it. Whoa, turning the tables. Another unique feature of the alien cyst is that it is capable of communication. Shortly after infection, it extends a small neuronal process directly into the host's brain and begins talking... reciting alien history, literature, and culture. It's fascinating stuff. Scholars, the military, and the government have a serious interest in compelling all the infected individuals to carry the cysts and share their information. Of course, there is also a very simple surgical procedure to remove the cyst at any time with very little risk. There are also drugs. You take one pill and the cyst is expelled from your body relatively painlessly. What do you do? Personally, I find it extremely interesting to have a conversation with an alien intelligence, and if infected, I'd be tempted to keep it. I'm also financially stable with good health care, so I could probably cope with the financial burden and would get the medical assistance to minimize any risk. On the other hand, though, if I were more insecure economically or had risk factors that made carrying the cyst more dangerous or simply did not want to support this alien entity, maybe I have more interesting and important things to do with my life. Who are you to tell me that I do not have the right to resist this invasion? Maybe it has brilliant things to whisper to me. Maybe it will be unbearably adorable once the cyst breaks. Maybe society is saying... it really wants me to share the words of the alien, but ultimately it ought to be my decision to make the sacrifices necessary to carry this creature. And if it is unwanted, it should be my right to end it. Who are you to tell me that the life of this parasite is more valuable than my own? Being ordered about what I'm allowed to do with this infection would also be particularly galling if the people most insistent about it also happen to be a group of people who are totally immune from any possibility of ever having to host an alien themselves. Yeah, friggin' women telling me what to do with my alien cyst. So yeah, that's the end of it. That was a little bit long, but not too bad, hopefully. You didn't fall asleep or anything, did you?
No, I don't get this analogy. It's like an invasive life form that basically rapes you, and it's not ethical that it would do that. So why would I want to allow this life form to breathe?
Yeah. And you know what? That's actually the same kind of problem I had with the violinist thing, because the violinist thought experiment, I even said to Pilucci, I was like, well, that sounds like in the case of like rape, you know, unwanted pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And that, I, you know, seems like a different thing to me. So I agree.
If it were to ask me, if it were to come here and it was like a polite, civilized, alien, I would, and said, hey, would you mind carrying my alien fetus? And I was okay. You know, maybe I would be okay with that. But if it just implanted it in me.
Depends on how good looking it is too. If it's an easy on the eyes alien, all depends on what, you know, species and how that works. Yeah. So I agree. What frustrates me about this is, well, first off, I do largely agree. I want to say I am pro-choice, and I largely agree with a lot of the logic, especially if it comes to unwanted pregnancy, you know, in case of rape or whatever, especially. But this thought experiment does talk about it as though it's always an accident, you know, like there's no, essentially I have like two problems with this. And in reading the violinist thought experiment, there also is a caveat that Judith Jarvis Thompson says, it may be that it's immoral to abort when you made the decision. You've already taken on the responsibility and brought the child to a certain point, you know, where it's like a certain level of consciousness. She actually leaves that open. So it's not entirely controversial, even among, you know, pro-choice people, to say that once you've committed to the idea of a child and brought it to a certain number of weeks, that it may be wrong to get an abortion then. But
for what reason?
Yeah, it depends. It really depends. And I don't think there's any hard and fast rules about it, but it seems like there's two things. One, this thought experiment really doesn't address the original problem, does it? I mean, because Dawkins is saying, you know, he doesn't agree if the fetus was conscious and writing poetry in the womb. I mean, he's just saying like that would be a problem to me. And then PZ brings up a thought experiment that has nothing to do with that. Like it just has to do with regular abortion. And also it sounds like abortion in the case of unwanted, unplanned pregnancy, right? Isn't, would you say
that's what I don't really think it relates to what Richard Dawkins says.
Which is weird. It's weird for him to respond that way. I guess if you were trying to make the best case for PZ, he's saying that he's giving this as a reason why it's always the person's choice, no matter what. And I don't know what you think about this. I wanted to have Tracy on because I don't want to just be another, you know, white male talking about things that don't personally affect me, I guess. I mean, it could, but, you know, I'm never going to be pregnant, I don't think. But I want to ask you, because I'm assuming you're probably pro-choice, right?
Oh, very, yes.
Okay, very pro-choice, good. Wouldn't you say there could be a difference between what PZ is outlining, or, you know, just some sort of accidental or unplanned or, you know, that sort of pregnancy? And like, what if this is the only thing that troubles me with this woman has the right, no matter what. What if you have a husband or a significant other and you make the decision together that you want a child together and you get pregnant, and then like week 39, the female, does she still have the right to just decide, you know what, I'm killing this baby, and then the man has no say?
Well, I mean, I really consider myself extremely liberal and pro-choice, but I don't think that I am okay with anybody just deciding at 39 weeks that they want to terminate their pregnancy on a whim.
Yeah, I mean, so there is a limit.
Yeah, sure. I pretty much stand where if it's viable, you shouldn't. I mean, unless there's a chance it could kill the mother. But I don't agree that at any point somebody should just say, oh, I don't want this baby. But I don't think that happens, because being pregnant is not an easy thing on your body, on your psyche, on any part of your life. Nobody's going to take it to 39 weeks and say, oh, you know what, the last 39 weeks of like throwing up and having stretch marks.
Maybe I set up too much of a straw man. Well, let's just say later in the pregnancy, but still, like, I think the point I'd rather look at is not the 39 weeks part, which is definitely a separate issue, but the fact that someone could, it's interesting. You could make a decision together. The baby could be half the male. And that, you know, the male has an interest in having a child, like they really want a child, yet, and the child, you know, is part them, but it would be interesting and perhaps problematic to say that the woman has full control over just ending it. But then again, I suppose, you could make the opposite claim and say that, you know, the man can't just insist that she carry something to term that she doesn't want.
Yeah, so sure. So what if you found out that the baby had Down syndrome and one of them wanted to abort and one of them didn't?
Wow.
Is that a better way to phrase it?
Well, that's like, kind of leading into the next thing we're going to talk about. Yeah, that is interesting. I don't know. So I suppose maybe I'm arguing myself out of this, because if it's a 50-50 thing, then tiebreaker would be the woman who has to have the kid, I suppose.
Yeah.
Would be a good tiebreaker. So I don't know. Maybe I just argue myself right out of it. But it does. And I'm not at all worried about this in my life or anything. So don't, it's not like I guess because I'm male, maybe I would be identifying with that part, but I'm honestly have no like chance of this ever happening to me. But it does seem interesting that simply because of biology, like the male, a male can never just have a kid. Like they always have to, you know, they never get that choice. Boo-hoo. And I understand it's, you know, Women have to deal with a lot more in terms of having babies and everything, but it is interesting.
I guess I would have to weigh the long term idea of if you aborted it, what it would be like for the person who didn't want to abort versus if you had it for the from the perspective of the person who didn't want to have it. Like, for instance, if it had Down syndrome and I didn't want to have it, trying to imagine what it would be like for him in the future if it had been aborted.
Right.
How would he deal with that versus how I would deal with having to live with a Down syndrome baby for the next 30 years? That seems like more stress on me for 30 years versus him having to deal with the fact that he aborted a baby.
Hmm. Yeah. I guess now that I think about it, maybe I'm just totally wrong. I brought that up as a concern, but I mean, it will always come up to either they both agree and no problem or 50-50. Mm-hmm. And then tie goes to the runner. Like you'd have to give it to the person who has to actually have the baby. But I guess it's just one of those biological things that we can't get around until.
This is actually something that I dealt with.
Oh, because, really?
You know, well, I was pregnant and I had a baby. So it turned out okay. But, I mean, I had this talk.
Or did it? No, I'm just kidding.
I had this talk with her dad. If at the time he was Christian and didn't want to abort if it turned out to have Down syndrome, because we were doing the test for Down syndrome. Not that we had any reason to think that it would, but I would want to know because I would want to abort. And we had this talk and he said that he wouldn't want to. So it was a good thing to find out that she didn't have it, because I...
What would have happened if she did have Down syndrome?
Honestly, I would have had an abortion no matter what.
And to me, that is totally like, I would defend your right to make that choice. So I suppose I answered my own question. I guess it just really is like the woman's choice. When we look at a situation like that, it outlines the fact that like, yeah, you shouldn't be required to have this kid. But the other issue that's probably, I don't know if maybe it'll be an issue or maybe it won't, is I do think there's a difference between making a choice, like taking on the obligation, because that's what this thought experiment, as well as the violinist one, does talk about it as though it's something that just happens to you, you know, like, but there is some amount of choice that can be involved. And mm-hmm. If you take on that obligation, is there anything to be said for the fact that you've taken it on and then at week, I don't know, let's say 30, I have no idea when the hell anything is. But at some point late, does that change anything? The fact that you've taken on, now legally, I don't think it ever could. And I'm not saying it should, because the law can't know your true intentions and all that. And you know, you can't like prove that you actually wanted the baby, you know, all that. But I just mean, if we were trying to talk morally, like some philosophical moral kind of thing, ethical consideration, would it, to me, it seems like the violinist and this thought experiment don't apply to when you've taken on the choice. So you've agreed with a male to have a baby, and then you get to a certain point later on. maybe you still have the right, full right to abort. It's totally possible, but I don't know that these thought experiments are what prove that.
So are we going at 30 weeks or are we going at the age of viability?
Okay, let's say age of viability. Well, I don't know that I care about that part of the thing for this point. I think that's a separate issue. So maybe leave the timing exactly out of it and just say sometime later after you've agreed. I think that's what I meant to get across by that particular aspect of the thought experiment. Like,
so you basically just agreed like, oh, we are not ready to be parents.
No, you've agreed originally that you were ready and that mm-hmm. you were having a baby.
Yeah, but you changed your mind later.
Yes, and if the woman changes her mind some pretty far later date, does she have that right? I guess you still would have to say she does. It's troubling, but maybe it's sort of like the least troubling option.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on the week you're talking about. I know you say it doesn't matter, but it does.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm saying I wanted to not look at that variable for this. I want to try to, like when you're doing thought experiments, you know, I'm like trying to disregard that portion of it for just to look at this ethical choice.
It's so hard for me to do, especially really? As somebody who used to be a pregnant woman, because I know that you get just how much you go through to get to say 30 weeks. Hmm. It's just impossible to not understand what you want at that point. And you've gone through so much and you can feel it moving and it just becomes really real. And I don't know.
It sounds horrifying.
Yeah. No, I mean, I used to call it a parasite. I was freaked out by it.
We have Tracy Moody describing her, if you just joined us, Tracy Moody describing the awful...
I mean, I used to call it a parasite and it was a host. Well, that's what it was to me. It creeped me out all the time. But I could never imagine when it gets to the point of like, you can feel its parts sticking through your body. Mm-hmm. Like you can feel, oh, here's its butt. Here's its head. Here's its like that seems.
Yeah. And that's of course, just talking, you know, personally, I mean, I don't think that can factor into like the, you know, ethics of it. I think that the rights.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's so hard for me just to, you know, get rid of that and just imagine as if I didn't experience that.
Well, okay. All I'll say is this. It may be that that it's still true that the woman always has the choice no matter what's going on, but I don't think these thought experiments prove it. So I would want to hear different arguments because these thought experiments are both based on like, you know, it's not really a choice of any kind. It sort of happens to you, but, so that, I don't know, I guess that was my problem with it. And it seemed like you had sort of the same issues, but it may be that ultimately I agree, because if you do look at it from the other way and say, you know, the man wants you to have this baby, therefore you have to have it, like, okay, I'm not very comfortable with that either. So it may just be the lesser of two bad, you know, kind of bad choices. But okay. So now let's talk about the timing issue. So forget all that. So in your mind, do you think there is a time that you think it shouldn't be legal anymore?
Well, sure. There gets to be a point where if you were to have the baby, it could survive. And I think that's somewhere around 26 weeks. I think babies can survive outside of the womb. It seems to me that it can no longer just be a part of your body. It's not just an extension of your body. But I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because you can't just make exceptions for certain people in certain situations. It's all or nothing when it comes to abortion.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I would say like if it's going to kill the mother to have this baby in some way, that it should go.
Yeah. And that's interesting because I've always looked at that too and thought, well, then what are you saying? I mean...
I don't want to say there should be a rule where women who don't want to have the baby should be forced to have it just because they decided they didn't want to have it. What's that? But women who are going to die should be able to get rid of it. You can't say that. You can't say that, well, it's a, you know, it's circumstantial. You can't say that. It's got to be one way or the other. So, but it does concern me. I do look down on people who would get to the point of viability and be like, you know what? I don't want to be pregnant. Like, that sounds so fucking ridiculous, but I don't think that happens.
Yeah, I don't
think so. That's why I say abortion for anybody who needs it, you know?
Yeah. I can agree with that. And not that you need my agreement or anything, but yeah, I agree with what you're saying. And I think that the more I think about it, and I just kind of wanted to talk about it, because it seems like there's even among pro-choice people, I think there are people who would disagree with what you just said and say that it doesn't matter at all if it's viable or not. It has no bearing on it. And I can't decide if I agree with that, because it, like you said, I mean, it isn't, there comes a point where it's not just your body, it's something in your body. And it's, I mean, if you're trying to make an analogy, I know it's a poor analogy, but if someone stores something in your house, doesn't give you the right, you don't just own it. I mean, there is the idea that just because something is like in a certain place, you know, you don't all of a sudden have every right to it, but maybe our bodies different. I don't know. Maybe bodies are different. I'm just hard to say. What do you think?
At some point it does become its own property and it begins to feel things. I mean, I think the jury's out on when exactly that feeling and consciousness starts to happen, but there needs to be a line drawn somewhere, right? There was this guy, I don't exactly remember what state he was in. I know there's about to be a made-for-TV movie about him, but he was an abortion provider who was literally just killing babies. Like, he was pulling their heads out of the womb and severing their spinal cord with scissors.
I think I heard about
that. It was illegal.
That.
It was legal. They shut him down and he went to jail or prison. But that would be the point, you know, like full-term babies where he's just cutting their spinal cord. He knows it's wrong. He's operating illegally. They obviously know it's wrong. They had to come from very far distances to have these abortions by this guy.
Interesting, because I know Peter Singer, I've referenced it before. He thinks that there really is no... that the being in the womb or not is kind of arbitrary when it comes to whether the... I think he looks at it the same way we're kind of looking at it. Is the fetus a human or not? Do we grant it rights? Because if you look at it from that angle, he's saying it doesn't really make any difference whether it's like in the womb or out of the vagina. Like, what does that matter? It's kind of an arbitrary line, because you could have a baby be born prematurely or not. You know, like, so it changes that line. That's not a good thing to use. So he thinks he had some other criteria, but what it essentially amounted to was that it should be that just essentially killing your baby should be morally acceptable up to a certain age, like one or something.
I don't know. That seems so far out.
Well, yeah, but what I'm getting at is that, like, you have to be logically consistent, because there's no problem with what you're saying. If you say, you know, you pick a, you know, rough time, I know it's hard to be precise, but roughly when we consider it a person and then you can't abort it, that to me is logically consistent. I don't really have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. But if you come from the angle that it's, you know, it has to do with a woman, you know, a woman's body and et cetera, et cetera, then it becomes this weird arbitrary thing of like, well, once you know, cause you could have it out of your body at, I don't know, how early can it be viable? Did you say like 28
about
weeks?
I think about 26 weeks.
Oh,
maybe
okay.
Can survive at that point.
Yeah. And so there's a huge difference in window, and there's not really, I don't know, there's not really any moral difference in terms of the consideration of the baby. There's no moral difference in how we should treat it. Like, it's not less of a person because it's at 28 weeks, but in you versus 28 weeks, but not in you anymore or something, you know, like, so it's interesting.
Well, I think most states also have laws where I think most of them cut off around 21 weeks. I might be wrong about that, but
that sounds right to me.
Yeah. And I don't really have a problem with that. Hmm. I think at that point, you know, most tests can be run to know if there's something wrong with the baby, to know if there's something wrong with you.
I wonder if
we could push it back, but if we're trying to find a meeting ground between pro-choice and pro-lifers, I think that's an okay place to be. It's just that they keep pushing it and trying to make more laws.
Well, I don't care about them. I mean, I don't care about pro-lifers. I'm more I think they're okay. And I want to hear from people. Please let me know. Write me about this, because I think people would probably, a lot of people listening would say there shouldn't be any limit. It should be fine up until, you know, the time it's out of you, I guess. But that's the weird thing. I don't get how it's okay at 39 weeks, but not at 41 weeks when it's been born. That's where that Peter Singer thing comes in. Cause like, yeah, there's not really any difference in the baby. It's the same, like it has the same functions essentially. It has, you know, so, but anyway, I'm curious what people think about that. I'm not so much interested in appeasing people who have some stupid religious reason to think that abortion is wrong, because if their stance is abortion's always wrong no matter what, then that's not an interesting view to me, because abortion is fine to me most cases. It's just a matter of finding if there is a line. I don't know. It is weird that I do agree with Richard Dawkins when if the fetus is fully conscious and writing poetry, hypothetically, you know, obviously hypothetical, is it okay to just kill that thing? I don't know, because you can. But okay. Oh, I meant to bring this up earlier. I think Piliucci brought this up. He said the logic behind it, or either that, or this was in the violinist thing. I can't remember. What if some famous person? I think the analogy was, I don't know, it was dated reference. Who was it? Some actor back then in the 70s, I think. I don't know. Who's that guy with a mustache?
Burt Reynolds.
I think that's exactly what it was.
I was named the first mustache that popped
that's,
in my head.
That's who, well, you know, 70s dude with a mustache. I mean, who else would it be? I think it was Burt Reynolds or someone like that. But anyway, it's not important. What if in order to save someone's life, some actor like Burt Reynolds, we can update that if we want, Brad Pitt, had to fly to, pick a place, Las Vegas. And
he's already there, man.
It's totally within his power to do so. It's going to cost him nothing or whatever. And he has to, if he flies there and goes there, he can save this person's life. And the thought experiment, and I may not be getting this exactly right, but I think this was the gist of it. It was saying you couldn't really say that he has an obligation to do that. You couldn't really say that he has to do that. You know, like, because he has a life too. Like, he has things he has to do. There could be no end to this. There could be any number of people that he could have to save in this way. Mm-hmm. And that was an interesting point, because it's like, well, yeah, maybe that's right. I mean, but again, the one difference that I see is when you make a choice and it's a actual decision and an obligation you've taken on already, like you've agreed to bring this child to term. That seems to be different to me than these hypotheticals, which sound more like it wasn't a conscious choice or something. It's weird.
Yeah, I agree. I keep saying, I just can't imagine people do that. Are there any reported cases of people doing that?
What?
Just saying, I changed my mind.
Oh, I'm sure it happens. I mean, there's a gajillion people in the world. I doubt it's very often.
Well, I think that the statistics are a little weird. I mean, I know a lot of them, like, I've seen lots of pro-choice or pro-life videos where they say, like, most abortions are just people who decide they don't want to have babies. But I don't think that's the case. I think what it is a lot of people aren't willing to say they were raped or they were, you know, their abortion or their pregnancy was a product of incest. Or I think there are a lot of things people are not wanting to admit when they take this survey or, you know, write this thing in with the doctor, because that's going to raise a lot of other questions and they want to put it behind them. So I just don't think that happens.
Well,
very
I doubt
much.
It happens very often, but when we're trying to talk about, like, you know, what should be the moral guide or the more, you know, like that you have to try to cover everything.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I think those people should be allowed to have abortions, but you know what? It's also my right to say they're fucking slime, right?
That is terrible. A view people take. I mean, they say, and I kind of agree with it too. It's like, I don't think that there should be a legal restriction. I think that's right. I don't think there should be a legal restriction, but it's sort
of
I'm
going to shame the shit out of them.
In that case, yeah, sure. I can agree with that. And I think there are definitely people who take that view. I mean, they're like, oh, I don't, you know, I'm not a fan of abortion, but, you know, it's something that has to happen. It has to be a right. And
those
I agree
are like
with
the
that.
Kinds of people who get puppies because they're cute, but then when they grow up, they send them to the pound.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, awful.
So, okay, I think we've covered this. And again, this is something that I'm not totally sure on. I just wanted to talk it out, kind of see what you thought, and then we can get feedback from listeners.
I think a lot about it, too, about abortion. Yeah. When I, 2004, I got on a bus and I went to Washington, D.C. to protest some abortion rights.
Roe v. Wade.
No, I'm not that fucking old. God, I wish, though, because I could have lived through some awesome shit.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it was the March for Women's Lives in Washington, D.C. And it was basically like one of the biggest gatherings in D.C. for pro-choice women or pro-choice people. And it was amazing. There was over 1 million people there. Tons of counter-protesters with like big billboards with like chopped up fetuses and Nazis and like comparing abortion doctors to Nazis and people with megaphones yelling at us. One of them yelled at my friend who was with me, Becky. She said she was like a Mennonite woman or something. She had the hair up in the bun kind of in like a full dress. She said, "Go home and bake a biscuit or a muffin if you're from the North." Like that was her advice. I don't know, but for some reason, those words stuck in my head all the time.
Yeah, I can understand that. What the hell? No, I've been
thinking about this abortion stuff for a long time, and I've always been pro-choice, but there are still things for me that are fuzzy. I don't think it's something we can just figure out. I just think it should be legal because most people are going to make the right choice about it.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
And you can't make restrictions because there are people who need abortions, medically need abortions.
Yeah.
And we can't leave those people out because basically it boils down to religion.
Yeah.
The majority of it.
I have to say when you talked about those counter protesters, I think I've referenced it before on the show, but I've been listening to some Doug Stanhope lately. And man, I love Doug Stanhope. But he had a bit on how like horrifying it is. And like he was... Somebody wrote him and sent out like these, you know, pictures of dead fetuses and all that. And his joke on them was to like out conservative them and be like, "I can't believe you're distributing photos of child pornography like that." Like, and it was really funny. It's a funny bit. But it's funny how, and he has other great points about like how much these freaking people, these horrible people who, you know, are one step away from murdering abortion doctors, essentially, how they're so obsessed with these gruesome pictures and like posting them everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that was it. It was something he found posted somewhere that just had this picture. It's like, oh, great. And so listen to it's on Spotify, his comedy albums. I forget which one, but it's well worth it because there's a bunch of other jokes that I wish I could say about it, but it's, you know, it's not a show where I should just make Doug Stanhope's jokes. So I'll move on, but check it out. So maybe we should move to the Down syndrome kind of question.
Okay.
And yeah, this was pretty crazy to me. So again, it was another Dawkins Twitter outrage, and it always ends up that I see someone post about this, and then I think, well, Dawkins has lost his mind, and then I read what the actual thing is, and it's like, oh wait, it was nothing, just like it always is, pretty much. I mean, it's not nothing, but it's always overblown. And what he tweeted was someone tweeted him, and they said, "I honestly don't know what I would do if I were pregnant with a kid with Down syndrome. Real ethical dilemma." And he said, "Abort it and try again. It would be immoral to bring it into the world if you have the choice." And he later said this, he thought this direct tweet, he tweeted at this person. This wasn't a, you know, like trying to tweet out to the world. He tweeted at this, this user. And he later said he didn't know that would go out to everybody. Like he didn't know people could find that. He thought, so it is
that
true
really that, a thing or is
no that's that I that to me sounds understandable. Like I don't know.
I mean, I don't really know Twitter that well. I don't get on it very often, but you do.
No, when
a,
you like, actually it is when you the problem is when you have a bazillion followers like Richard Dawkins, people can go find it.
Yeah.
Because if I tweet at someone, it doesn't show up for anyone else. They have to go, someone would have to be on my Twitter and look through my mentions or whatever and go find it. So he has a, I mean, he has a point that's valid. Like someone asked him, to me, this is valid. Someone asked him his opinion, essentially. Like they tweeted at him. They didn't, I guess they didn't directly ask it. But I mean, when you tweet at them and say, I don't know what I would do, ethical dilemma, I think you're inviting his opinion, right? I mean, wouldn't you say? And yeah. He responded directly to them. And so I think he has a point. I mean, he wasn't just going out of his way to say, like, hey, don't, you know.
Okay, make sure that's so very different from what I understood it to be like exactly. A week ago until I read this story you sent me. I thought he just was like being, you know, crazy old
well,
Richard Dawkins.
What happened was after people found it and started tweeting about it, he tweeted a bunch to try to address it, of course. Mm-hmm. And he later said, if I were a woman with a Down syndrome fetus, I personally would abort. So do most women, which, I mean, that's true. If you wouldn't, good luck to you. It's your decision. So, I mean, this is what's so frustrating about this whole Richard Dawkins thing. I understand now that he's lost everyone's goodwill, essentially. And so it's so much easier to just look at these things and go, oh, what an idiot. But and then you just don't accept anything he says after that. But when he says right there, you know, good luck to you, it's your decision. Well, okay, that's yeah. He's saying it's your decision. Like, what? Why do you still have a problem with it? Now, if you want to talk about sensitivity, that's fine. And he said he would have worded it differently had he known it was, you know, everyone was going to find it and all that. And had it not been on Twitter. But it's like, I just don't get it. I'm fine with when someone says something and they clarify, I'm fine with that. The one thing I've complained the most about someone writing on the show was PZ Myers. And that was because he wrote something and it was horrifying and he clarified it
and
to be even more.
And he continuously backed it up.
And he was offered no retraction at all. It wasn't like, oh, I'm interpreting this to mean something. It was like he clearly, this is what he believes. So I had an issue with what he believes. Now, if we're just looking at it on a face value for Richard Dawkins here, like what are we talking about here when we're criticizing people who are criticizing him?
Again, in that text, did he say immoral or something?
He did say immoral, and people have disagreed. Sorry,
in the original text, or I'm
in
sorry,
the original
tweet,
he said, abort it and try again. It would be immoral to bring into the world if you have a choice.
Okay. That was maybe something he said wrong, even if he was talking directly to somebody, was to say it's immoral. Because it's not necessarily immoral.
Well, it's hard. Okay, so this gets into difficult territory. Because I think if you talked to Peter Singer, I'll bring him up again, because he has a very interesting and clear mind when it comes to this kind of medical stuff. If you're making the choice at an early stage when you've discovered you're having a fetus that's going to cost the society in medical bills, and I don't know, and just not talking about specifically Down syndrome. If you know you're going to have a child with anything, let's say any sort of medical issue that is going to cost resources. Yeah, you have healthcare, but I mean, if you have healthcare, that it's not just you. It's like there's doctors' time and money that goes into it. Where you could make the choice to abort and possibly have a child that doesn't have these problems. Is it immoral to make that choice? I don't know. I think I agree that maybe he shouldn't have phrased it that way.
Yeah.
But it's open to argument. I mean, I could...
Well, you could start saying a lot of things are immoral. Like being fat is immoral because it costs more in healthcare.
There you go. I might agree with it. I mean, living in an unhealthy way that's like deliberate and completely disregards, your health and the fact that other people are going to have to put resources into keeping you healthy. If it's something that's totally in your control and you don't do it, then I would say that's immoral. I mean, would you disagree with that?
No, I think it's immoral. It's actually something that drives me absolutely insane. I've read a lot about it. Let's move on.
Yeah. So it seems to me to be at least open to argument. And that's none of that happens with this Richard Dawkins Twitter stuff.
Say it's definitely immoral. I'd say it's maybe immoral.
Yeah, sure.
If you have the resources and the funds, then maybe it wouldn't be immoral. I don't know. It's just not a definite. It just seems like a weird thing to say.
Sure. And let me read you. Here's what he said. He said, here's what I would have said in my reply to this woman, given more than 140 characters. And He didn't use all 140 characters in that original tweet, by the way.
I mean, what? They wrote like the dictionary and shit. Like, you can't expect him just to sum it all up in 140 characters. He went to Ivy League colleges. Come on.
He said, obviously, the choice would be yours. For what it's worth, my own choice would be to abort. And I think he was purposely wordy just to, you know, purposefully wordy just to show that he was like elaborating. But for what it's worth, my own choice would be to abort the down fetus. And assuming you want a baby at all, try again. Given a free choice of having an early abortion or deliberately bringing a down child into the world, I think the moral and sensible choice would be to abort. And indeed, that is what the great majority of women in America, and especially in Europe, actually do. I personally would go further and say that if your morality is based, as mine is, on a desire to increase the sum of happiness and reduce suffering, the decision to deliberately give birth to a down baby when you have the choice to abort it early in the pregnancy might actually be immoral from a point of view of the child's own welfare. I agree that personal opinion is contentious and needs to be argued further, possibly to be withdrawn. In any case, you would probably be condemning yourself as a mother or yourselves as a couple to a lifetime of caring for an adult with the needs of a child. Your child would probably have a short life expectancy, but if she did outlive you, would have the worry of who would care for her after you're gone. No wonder most people choose abortion when offered the choice. Having said that, the choice would be entirely yours, and I would never dream of trying to impose my views on you or anyone else. So, I mean, he was, I think, being a little facetious in the fact that he was, you know, making a really long reply, like emphasizing the fact that he only had a short, you know, scant 100 characters or whatever it was before.
Mm-hmm. I see.
But it's okay. So here's what's the interesting dynamic that happens here every time is that you can just, it's so easy to just say like, oh, Richard Dawkins, you asshole. Like, how dare you say this? But it's like, what are you saying? Are you really saying, and I mean the people who are really criticizing him for this, are you saying that it's morally wrong to abort a Down syndrome fetus? Like, is that what you're saying? Because I would 100% disagree with that. I think it's totally fine to make that choice. And, or like, you know what I mean? Like, what are they really saying here? What is the actual problem that they have with Richard Dawkins here?
I think it's just the same, like, reaction I had, which was like he just completely generalized that that's immoral and it's not always immoral. But I can't speak because I don't know all of the tweets that were saying he was wrong, but that's what I would criticize about it.
Well, okay, that's fine. I know I heard Matt Dillahunty say that he doesn't think it's immoral to not abort.
But I do agree. Like, I think it would be wrong in my situation. Obviously, I told you already that I would have aborted had I been carrying a Down syndrome child.
And here's the thing. I'm going to say it to, like, I would too. I would 100% abort, and I would have no, I would not even think about it. Like, it wouldn't even be hard. I just mean if I were given the choice somehow. I know I'm not
a woman. Yeah, I think you just, people don't consider that. You just, like, you will go on with your life and you will never know all the things that you did end up knowing because you have that baby. I think too many times people relate it to people that they know. Like,
yeah.
I know my child now. Oh, how could I ever have aborted her? She's such a great kid. Like, but yeah. I wouldn't have known any different had I done it.
You can just go back a little bit and say like sperm, like, oh, I would never have just wasted this perfectly good semen had I known. Like, once you meet a child that results of it. But it's like, it's a fallacy.
Oh my God. What if you could just see it in like little trading cards? Each sperm had like a different face on it.
That'd be weird. That'd be
so personal. How could you ever just ejaculate into a tissue?
No, there's no way. Yeah. It would end. God should have done that. Look, if God were real and he really believed the things that Christians think he wanted, you know, like that's what he should have done.
He would just ejaculate trading cards all the time.
Do you try to collect them all or what? How's that work? Yeah. So, here's the thing. I have certain pretty minor. So I'm trying to personalize it because if I'm trying to look at the other side, if I had a child with Down syndrome or if I knew someone very closely who had Down syndrome and I see these comments, I'm trying to think maybe I would be mad about it, but I don't know.
Sure.
I don't think
it's
I would.
It's easy to relate when you know somebody in that situation. Have you ever seen these women who, well, I'm sorry, not women, but people there, but there's one woman in particular. She's like a public speaker who was aborted, literally aborted. And she's like kind of deformed in the face. And I think she, She survived her abortion. It was a saline abortion. She survived. Like, she was thrown in the trash, but somebody pulled her out because she was still breathing or something. And they took her to the emergency room. And her biological mother didn't raise her, but she ended up being adopted out.
That is insane.
She's a full-grown woman now. She's a Christian, and she speaks at pro-life conventions and or whatever they call those things where they gather. But she's like basically like pro-life because she was aborted, because it's like a really personal situation, and she just thinks of all aborted babies as being her. Wow. So it's easy to like think of that situation when you can relate it directly to somebody.
Yeah. And okay, so here was the thought process I went through, because I thought, okay, that would make me a little annoyed. I think it would be like, but then here's what I was imagining. What if we lived in a time, I don't know, 100 years from now, where you could identify any problem? Because I have several sort of health weird, I can't hear in my left ear. So what if there was a time when just any sort of deformity like that, you would abort? Now, and I was thinking, like, so would I get mad if someone said, like, oh, you know, someone like you, for example, people with limited hearing in one ear, you know, we should have aborted you. And it does, I can understand, like, I'm trying to make it personal to sort of see what that's like. And it does feel wrong. Like, it does feel like, oh, how could you say that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then I was thinking, I think the problem is that people don't realize that if we lived in that time, and let's say we lived 100 years from now, and, you know, my mom was looking at maybe could even pick somehow, like, viable, you know, whatever fetus is going to, I don't know, however it would work. And the choice is between, you know, me, who would be deaf, and someone else who wouldn't. I think you forget that there's a someone else. So it's like, yeah, maybe I wouldn't exist, but someone else kind of like me would, or like with my genes or whatever. And that's a person too.
I feel kind of like you're getting into eugenics, like designer well, people.
Well, yeah, kind of. But I mean, like, it's the movie Gattaca. I forget. I feel like we've talked about that. Have we talked about the movie Gattaca? Confusing. Never mind. But I love that movie. It is interesting because, like, if we do one day get to an age where you just say you can pick like from a pool of like possible, you know, they can tell somehow like when you fertilize which egg or whatever the hell, I don't know how it would work, but let's say you can pick from potential candidate children,
mm-hmm.
and you're essentially, you know, if one was like deformed in some way, you would just try to pick one that wasn't. And like the point I'm making is, I think you need to realize that like someone else could exist. I think it's a little selfish to say that to associate you now, sort of like you said, associate you now as a person with you as a like fertilized egg. I mean, it's just not really the same. And it's like the Beethoven fallacy, like, oh, what, you know, what, that's another pro-abortion or anti-abortion argument that gets made, like, they outline Beethoven's mom's circumstances. I think it was like, oh, he had a ton of kids and you can't afford it, and they're diseased or whatever. Would you abort that baby? And then you go, yes. And then they go, congratulations, you just aborted Beethoven or something.
Oh, that is so stupid.
It's really dumb. And it's so stupid. But the other side of that is like, well, yeah, or it could have been Hitler. I don't know. Could have been.
Yeah, exactly.
You might have aborted someone.
Or maybe if you could select your eggs to be fertilized, maybe you didn't pick Beethoven.
Yeah, could have been. So it's hard to say, but you can't look at all those possibilities. Like, you can't know. You have to treat it differently. You have to go with the information that you have.
I don't see a problem with designing better people if we can do that in the future.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean,
my concern in the long term, especially as somebody who doesn't believe in an afterlife, is that the human race goes on. We go to another planet and we survive. I don't want us to sit here and destroy our planet and die. I want people to be smarter and to have ambitions and to go further.
Not overpopulating, essentially, is what you're saying. Like, not.
Oh, yeah. Abortions for everyone.
All right, new policy. Everyone gets aborted.
Pro-death.
Yeah, no. And let's abort everyone just who's alive right now. Let's just abort everything. We're done. No good.
To be honest, I would be happy if abortions were more readily available and easier for women to get, because we have a problem in our country with people having too many babies that they didn't intend to have. And it's harder to get abortions. It's getting harder. I mean, there are like restrictions and you have to go out of state sometimes, and it costs a lot of money to get to these places, and they end up having them later term than they intended to have them. There's a lot of problems with the way it's set up. I think it should be easier for people to do it when they want to do it.
I totally agree. And as far as the Down syndrome question goes, I just wanted to not be like a hypocrite, you know, criticizing Dawkins for what he said. If you want to say that in his, you know, response directly to a person, he should have been more conscious that everyone would see it and he should have worded it differently, that's fine. But then, I mean, are you really getting outraged about someone's wording on a tweet that they did?
Yeah, he elaborated, he apologized, he explained. I think people need to take that into consideration.
Yeah, I don't, and people just don't anymore. And whatever. I mean, I think it's just that they've, you know, he's lost everyone's good faith, I think. I just wanted to put that out there because I'm honest and I'm not going to try to pretend I'm something I'm not. Like, I would 100% get an abortion if I knew there was something wrong with the fetus. And I don't, that shouldn't be some insult to people living with any sort of current disabilities, because there's that's a fallacy to think that. And to stand by what I said, I wanted to say this specifically, like, it may get to a point where someone like me would never have been born. I have like a couple of health things that maybe someday that person won't even exist. But you can't look at it that way. You have to look at it that someone else will exist and that will be a healthy person who will develop, you know, and that's, you can't look at it as killing me. You have to look at it as like someone else will have been born. And that's why Richard Dawkins said, like, how many decisions do we make every day that result in different people being born? You know, like, you could, if you looked at it that way, like, everything you do could result in certain people, potential people not existing and other people existing.
Sure. Like any form of birth control.
Yeah. Any birth control, maybe you have sex at a different time. Like, there's plenty of different decisions that you make. Maybe you go somewhere different rather than going to another place, and at one place you meet someone, and that's when you know, like, everything.
Or like,
we
the
do,
difference can be, you know, what, when you have sex, because there are different eggs that could get fertilized.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
so,
yes.
Well, gosh, but this has gone way too long.
And besides,
long.
We need to compensate for the stunt in evolution we've created by, like, keeping everybody alive in hospitals. Like, everybody fucking lives these days, and they should have died. You know, had this been like a few thousand years ago, they would have died.
This is hardcore.
We need to somehow progress our genetics.
Yeah,
maybe
I don't
think by like selecting.
That's one thing I don't get. And I was trying to end this show, but now I got to say it. You hear that even biologists say, and they should know better. So maybe I'm just wrong, but I don't feel like evolution really is like that powerful of a force for us anymore.
Like
you said, everyone lives, everyone reproduces now. It's like, And even biologists will talk about it like, oh, you know, a certain number of years from now, we might not even be the same. It's like, how?
And like, people, total fucking nerds with a lot of money get laid and have babies. They would, you know, had they lived in the Amazon or something, would have died, would have been eaten by an animal.
Yeah, so I don't get that. I never understand how I guess there's sexual selection, but like you said, I mean, still, even people who aren't like physically desirable still reproduce plenty. And I don't see how evolution is still going to have that big of an effect on humans. Like, people talk about it like somehow little trends will produce like evolutionary biological changes in us, you know, like, oh, we're spending more time in the sun. Pretty soon. Well, it's like, no,
but we're trying to cure everything.
Yeah. We cure everything and we still reproduce. Like, so I don't see where the selection comes in, but if we have any biologists listening who could set me straight on that, I just don't get it. But anyway, I guess thanks for coming on, Tracy.
My pleasure.
And shooting straight, I don't think anyone would accuse you of being too careful with what you say. And that's good. No. That's good for the show. All right. So until next time, see you guys later.
Bye.